When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mike Farren, SiriusXM, MLB Network Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, now singing the Mike Farren Open, it's Mike Stibbs.
Just make sure it sounds sexy, Stibbs.
Lord Almighty, how can you stand Arizona? Your fair skin must be burning down into your absent soul. Mike, 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 we can barely hear you. It sounds to me like you called us from inside a hole. But your phone calls lift me higher, like the ERA of Mark Pryor. Your hair looks like it's on fire. You're Mike Farren. You're just a hunk of burning love.
Oh,
you're just a hunk of burning
man,
love.
It's so encouraging.
Just a hunk of burning love.
It's so encouraging to watch games now from the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, and there's actual people sitting behind home plate.
It's nice.
Now, it's still only about 2,000 people in the whole stadium, but at least you see people behind home plate.
It's a couple dozen.
Did you see the story today that somebody did that there are currently 553 North American sports teams that draw more than the A's do on a nightly basis?
Oh, no.
Is this college and professional or just
this.
Professional?
I've got to find this. It's not just like it's all the way down to
like high school, right?
I don't know, like team tennis stuff. Hang on, let me see if I can find the
link
to the story. I just saw it in passing and wasn't even gonna, U.S.-based leagues. There are 553 sports teams in U.S.-based league averaging more per home game than the A's. On that list are three indoor football league franchises, two college wrestling teams, a professional women's volleyball team.
That's why people were talking about that earlier. I was like, why are people randomly just comparing Supernova's attendance, you know? And I was like, oh, maybe it's because they played
last night. I mean, the Supernovas are like four times what an average A's game is.
I just said it to you guys in the
private
chat.
That is
infographic that Sportico created.
Unbelievable. That is.
Thank you, Mike.
That is tremendous. Well, if you would have had the Oakland Athletics four games up in the standings the first full week of May on the Houston Astros, raise your hand.
I see
no hands in the room.
No.
But that's true. We start the day with the A's four games better than Houston.
You know, they've pitched pretty well. I think overall their offense isn't great, but they've pitched pretty well. And the back of their bullpen looks like it's going to be really good with Lucas Ursig and the former Cal standout and Mason Miller, who's just an incredible story. I mean, that guy was at a D3 school, failed a drug test, couldn't understand why. They had him retake the test, and they were like, well, there's one of two things. Either you diluted the sample or you have type 1 diabetes. Guess which one it was.
Oh, no.
It was the bad one.
So
he ended up getting medication. It was the first time he'd been put on insulin. That's you're insulin dependent for type 1, and gained weight and muscle, ended up transferring to Gardner Webb, and now he's one of the most dominant relievers in the league. So I mean, Ursig's his own great story. You know, he left Cal to go to an NAIA school. You know, he had issues with drug and alcohol abuse in college, and you know, was drafted as a third baseman, made it to AAA as a third baseman in the Brewers system before getting converted to the mound. He'd been a two-way player in college, and but he's been great too. So yeah, there's some good stories on that A's team. There's some good players there too, guys that are just getting their feet wet in their career who have a chance to be pretty solid pros. But I mean, it's not going to last like this, but hey, it's a lot better than last April was for them.
Hey, Mike, kind of along those lines, now that I am a diehard Mariners fan, living and dying with every game. Yeah, they. By the way, thanks again to Mike Farren for helping us out. We saw a walk-off home run, which was super cool.
Don't say I never did anything.
Exactly. You have gotten me access to two of my like favorite sporting events ever. Remember the Capitals game a few years back, too? I saw Ovechkin score a goal.
Right.
Yeah, we're on the glass. That was awesome. Yeah, Mike Farren rules. Yeah. He's my favorite guest. A month into the season, positive surprises for you that you think have the most staying power? Because like in all seriousness... you know, Mariners a half game back right now. I've been watching the Royals a lot because of my wife. And so these teams have gotten off to starts maybe that people didn't see coming. You just talked about the A's. Which of those or anything else in the league right now, you're like, that is not what I expected, but maybe this could be something that goes a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think Kansas City is probably the one that comes to mind as the one that maybe has the best staying power in it.
Is it because they're only going to play the White Sox the rest of the way?
You know, they only have like 6 games left against the White Sox, so I'm a little concerned about that. Mm. Now, their pitching's pretty good. I mean, listen, it's not, the bar isn't all that high in that division, although Cleveland has been very good to this point. You know, like I think that they can kind of stay in the mix. So I think that's probably the one that I feel like has the same power. I don't think Seattle being a half game out of first is a huge surprise. I mean, it felt like they were a contender this year. You know, in terms of other teams that like we didn't necessarily expect to contend who could to this point, it's hard to say unless you were really down on the Padres. I'd give you the one that I think is a little bit of a surprise just based on the way they started the last couple of years, but a team that we expected to be in the mix. I mean, they've been in the Final Four the last 2 years, so the Phillies. You know, they're 25-11. It's their best start in like 30 years. They have been awesome on the mound. Harper's been really, he's been good, and like you still feel like there's more in the tank. They're going to have to play without Trey Turner, their shortstop, for the next 6 weeks. But that's a really good team that is off to a great start. And so that would be one that I think it's surprising. And listen, the people have been like, well, their schedule's pretty soft. Like, it doesn't get much harder over the course of the next 6 weeks, basically until the time that they play the Cubs. They have like one or two series against potential contenders, and I don't think they meet the Cubs until like early June. So that's a good team that I think has a better chance of winning the East than we anticipated coming into the year.
I am seeing much bitterness in my timeline from Cardinal fan about their lack of home run power and just winning in general. Are we going to have to start placing a call to Dr. Kevorkian here? Because
nice reference.
That is really cold, man. It's just a baseball team. Holy cow.
Well, I mean, I follow. Apparently, I have a lot of Cardinal fans in my timeline, and they are very upset right now about this.
Now, is that on the For You tab? Do you think that the algorithm on Twitter.com, X.com, has decided that you need to see as much Cardinal news?
No,
it's just
no.
Rob Sims over and over and over.
Yes, it's Rob Sims.
Rob
over
tweets
and over.
About the Cards a lot.
Rob is very unhappy right now. He's one of the most loyal Cardinal fans I know. Yeah. Very unhappy.
I think there's a chance that their offensive group just isn't very good. Like, I think everybody's been trying to well, is it the hitting coach or they need to do this or they need to do, like, it just may be that they're not very good. You know, Paul Goldschmidt is older. I still think Goldschmidt will come out of it because of his track record. But, you know, what the ceiling is for him, I'm not sure. Nolan Gorman has always struck out a lot. It's been a really, really rough start for him offensively. The one guy who has been great for them is Wilson Contreras, who was the guy that they signed last year and then took out of the catching job like a week into it because they didn't think he could handle it after they gave him a 5-year deal. You know, they're just like, they kind of feel like they're a little bit of a mess right now. And I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of help that's coming. They haven't always identified the right players to keep in trade and the right ones to move. But at the same time, I think they also like have kind of a limited ceiling on a number of players like Carlson and Newt Barr. And, you know, I like Mason Wynn a lot, but I don't think Mason Wynn's going to be a great offensive player. I think he's a really good defender at short that, you know, is like a number 9 hitter on a good, on a good team, you know what I mean? Like, he's a down lineup hitter, but a good player. So there's just not a whole lot of there. And I think that's going to end up being their downfall, is that they thought they were building a really good offense. And that I just don't know that their guys have that in them.
Here's a Rob Sims tweet.
Oh, perfect. Awesome.
The Cardinals have scored 3 or fewer runs in 22 of their first 35 games. They are tied with the Rockies for the most such games.
Oh, no.
In MLB. Wow.
You don't want to be tied with the Rockies on anything.
I mean, that's a bad offense that the Rockies have. So
yes, it is.
In that ballpark, no less.
Yes, it is.
Mike, kind of along those lines, and the question that I asked about surprises maybe with staying power, negative surprises for you that you expect to kind of stay where they're at, too, at this point in time. Like, I know the Astros are the obvious team that everyone wants to wonder, like, what the hell's going on with them? Is there, what, now 10 games below 500?
Yeah, and they've kind of been there the whole year. The bigger problem for them is that they're, like, that might be the answer in the end. You know, their rotation was pretty thin to begin with, right? And they battled a bunch of injuries. They didn't have Verlander for the first month of the season, essentially. Now, J.P. France, who's not, you know, a world beater, but has been giving them a fair amount of innings over the last couple of years, looks like he's going to have an extended absence with a shoulder issue. So it could be them, or it could be Toronto. And that's the one that I think is, like, Toronto on paper has a great rotation and has a really good bullpen. And the rotation's been fine. The bullpen has not. And, like Eric Swanson, who it was one of the better relievers in the American League the last couple of years, has been one of the worst so far. They have not gotten consistent work out of Jordan Romano since he's come back from injury. Genesis Cabrera, the former Cardinal, has really struggled for them. And Chad Green is hurt again. Like, and then their offense is like, you keep waiting for Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette to put it together. And, you know, Bichette hasn't had a great year, and Guerrero is off to a really middling start, and their offense is being carried by Schneider from one day at a time. Like, literally, like, he's just out there with his keys on a chain and his white t-shirt trying to fix the lock.
That's a very dangerous reference, but I got
sorry. That's, I mean, I'm being told now that's Davis Schneider is there. Davis Schneider, not Schneider the handyman. Sorry.
Again, for the old 50 and above, you'll remember. Yeah.
Yeah, that was for the old Strach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there was a show called One Day at a Time.
I don't even know that show. I've never even heard of it.
It was a sitcom about a single mom raising two girls. Valerie Bertinelli, that's where she
got
her.
Yeah.
Oh, you never heard of it? She married Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen, yeah.
I've never really gotten into Van Halen.
Are you familiar with Eddie Van Halen?
Yeah, I never got into Van Halen. I didn't really like their whole vibe. You might as well jump. It's a fine song, but otherwise.
They had more songs than that.
I didn't really like it.
They did do a remake of One Day at a Time on Netflix a few years ago, I believe.
Was it also called One Day at a Time?
It was also called One Day at a Time.
I don't remember that. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I never watched it, but I was aware of it.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Unlike Josh, I'm worldly enough that I can
75. I mean, no offense. I'm not watching TV shows.
That's when it started. It lasted until the early
84. I wasn't alive still in 1984. I apologize.
Watching that in Alice on a Saturday, a Sunday night.
Unlike movies, like, I do try to go back and watch older movies. I don't really do that with TV. Like, the oldest show that I have watched one season of is probably Cheers.
Yeah, I've been rewatching Cheers lately. We're into like season 4 now. It's great.
It's so funny. I don't know why we stopped watching.
Hilarious.
It's a great show. We watched it before the pandemic.
Yeah, I probably need to start doing that.
You just rewatched The Sopranos 800 times.
I'm still watching it again.
Yeah, I know you are. That's all you want.
That show really went downhill the last 5 seasons.
Oh, would you stop? Good Lord. That's ridiculous.
That was one of those shows that was like Entourage, where it was like, it's on HBO, it must be good.
It was. It's the best show of all time.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Mike, what are you? Are you a Wire guy? Are you Breaking Bad, Mad Men?
I never watched Mad Men.
Okay.
I tried watching the first episode a couple of different times, and it just moved too slowly for me.
Didn't take?
I did enjoy Breaking Bad, although I like Better Call Saul more.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, Mike Schaefer agrees.
I like The Wire. I lived in Baltimore. I'm like, yeah, I lived in season 2. So
I was with the docs.
We lived on the street that the Greek had his restaurant.
No way.
And the store that, I hope I'm not ruining season 2 of The Wire for anybody, but the robbery at the electronics store, that would have been like literally 3 blocks from our house.
What?
On Eastern Avenue. In fact,
that's
just
awesome.
To show you exactly where we are
I
in
love
Baltimore,
The Wire.
If you've ever seen Hairspray, the movie, we lived a block from the Hefty Heifer.
Never saw the movie, so I have no takes on that.
You're not a John Waters fan?
Nope.
Oh, sorry. You need to get out of Omaha.
I apologize. Wow. Hey, I did. I just went to the West Coast.
Stuff.
Here's a random question that has nothing to do with the current season, but I wanted to ask Mike and you, if you've ever seen it, which I assume you have, what was the first walk-off home run you ever saw in person? Because the game that we were at last Monday, Mariners went in a walk-off bottom of the ninth, 2-run jack. That was the first walk-off I had ever seen in person. Super cool. It is so much fun when that happens. John, do you remember? Was it a College World Series game? Mike, do you remember?
No.
Mm.
We didn't call them walk-off home runs when we were kids.
What'd you call them?
It wasn't quite.
No.
Like, if you go back, and I know you don't watch old TV shows, Josh, but if you go back and watch like an old game from the 80s with a game-ending home run.
Like the Bob Costas Cubs game. Like,
there's like three people congratulating someone at home plate. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same. Like, it wasn't until like the 90s. I want to say it was like the Reds teams in the 90s with Sean Casey that started the bounce at home plate. So, like, I can't remember that at all. I'm thrilled that you're so excited.
It was so cool. All right.
Okay, now, I have no idea if this is accurate. It might have been a Darren Erstad walk-off home run at Buck Belzer Field.
Oh, that's cool.
On the night that Nixon died.
Oh, interesting.
Don't ask me why I remember these things.
It's very, I mean,
because Kevin and I were doing the game together on KRNU, and our board op broke into our game to announce that Nixon had died.
He was like Howard Cosell.
And Kevin and I are looking at each other like,
John Lennon.
This game's in like the ninth inning, man. We get this thing back to us.
Nixon died. John is the president.
And the board op was like, sounded very morose and very sad about it.
He's a Republican.
It was like, it's like we had Alex P. Keaton running our board. There's another dated TV reference.
I get that reference.
But, and then we got the game back to us, and then I think Erstad walked off Iowa State.
On the night Nixon dies! Yeah. So die Nebraska's opponent.
Wait a second. Iowa State.
Yes.
There you go. The Fighting Mike Myers.
Iowa State's last home game and last game ever played.
Wow.
One of my good friends from college was on the last Iowa State baseball team.
Wow.
Really?
John Clark.
Yeah, I wish I had my old spotting sheets for those.
That'd be awesome.
But I don't.
Well, you mentioned people dying. I remember Osama bin Laden. He got killed. Night of a Phillies game. I was watching the Phillies.
So I have a story about that.
Okay.
Actually, because I was doing post game. That was when I was still doing Sunday night post games. And part of what we had done for that show was I had taped a 20-minute interview that was incredible with a huge baseball fan named Emmylou Harris,
the country western star.
She is a huge baseball fan. Like, remember the old sports pagers that your degenerate gambling friends used to have when gambling was illegal everywhere? It's like
Michael probably had
one. She walked around with one of those to check scores on the Braves. A huge baseball fan. So we did this whole 20-minute interview, and I love Emmylou Harris. Like, she's one of my favorite artists. And so, like, this was like, I mean, like I, if I had been in the same room with her, I would have been blushing and hiding under the table. I would so we do this whole interview and we tape it. And that night, bin Laden, you know, the SEAL Team 6 comes in and takes out bin Laden. And like, nobody was listening to us. Nobody was paying attention to us. And I'm still pretty sure no one has heard that interview other than me and my producer.
You should replay it on a random.
We did. We aired it, and nobody heard it. I guarantee you, nobody was listening.
Yeah, but you should replay it on your show sometime. Just, you know, you got an extra 20 minutes.
It's like a little dated now, John.
Well, so
we just have 20-minute segments that we can just kind of throw out there and not do anything covering.
We do. We replayed a call from 2 years ago.
We did. Yesterday we did that on our show. Yep. It was about a tornado in Omaha.
That hit 69th and Cumming.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All
right.
Well, while we're on the subject of sucking, it's time for it's time for our weekly White Sox update.
Nice.
Here we go.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Comes from this song? Okay. Yes. I didn't know that.
Through 35 games in our weekly question, are the 24 White Sox worse than the 62 Mets? Once again, the answer this week, yes!
By the way, now, they have the same number of wins as the Rockies. Do we need to add the Rockies to this graphic too?
Yes.
They're only 8-26.
That's true. They're a half game back or half game ahead.
Only 8-26.
The White Sox did win a series in St. Louis this week.
Makes it even sweeter that they're still four games behind
you're
the Mets.
All of the Cardinals fans complaining in your timeline.
Including a game that was rained out for 3 hours, and then they came back and C.B. Buckner made a terrible, you know, strike three call, and the game ended after about a 50-minute.
So in defense of C.B. Buckner on this one, right? Like, it's not the first time somebody's had a pitch that far outside called strike. The bigger issue with it was that they let that game go on as long as they did.
Oh, I know.
Like, it was like, if you saw the footage that John Brebbia, who was pitching for the White Sox at that point, it's a bases loaded jam, and he's literally like got his glove pressing the ball against his chest, trying to keep it dry so that he can deliver a pitch.
Crazy.
And he couldn't. And they finally, like, in the middle of the count, everybody's finally like, what are you doing? I know you want this game to be over, but this is ridiculous. And like, it was a legit player safety issue. So like, it was the fact that it went on as long as, I guess it was the 10th inning. Like the fact that it went on as long as it did was just, I mean, that was ludicrous. There's been some weird umpiring this year. I don't like to talk about the umpires very much because I think we give them way too hard a time based on how good they actually are at their job. You know, it's the old poster from your childhood that's like, when I do bad or when I do good, no one remembers. When I do bad, no one forgets, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's what the umpires are. But like, there's been some weird stuff that's happened this year, and that was one of them. Like, they should have pulled the tarp a lot earlier.
Yeah, they should have. Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
Tell me more.
Your boy Paul Skeens gave up his first home run in the minors.
Oh, no.
But he gave it up to former Creighton Blue Jay Will Robertson. And it happened after an appeal, because, you know, they can appeal the strike call, mm-hmm. the challenge.
Sure.
It would have been ball four. It was ball four until they appealed.
Oh, no.
It got reversed to a strike.
It's like Nick Saban asking for one more second, and then the kick six happens.
And then the next pitch got sent out to center field.
Oh, no.
So congratulations, Will. Nicely done. Your name's going to go in the record books. The fault.
Lefty or righty?
Lefty.
Nice.
Took him out.
Do you think it was like the scene in Goodfellas when Henry gets arrested for selling the cigarettes for the first time and everybody gives him tips that everybody was like celebrating for Skeens that he finally got pinched?
Yeah. They're stuffing $100 in his pocket.
Hey, congratulations, Paulie. Hey, happened.
Exactly.
Don't get me started on the Skeens stuff. It's just, it's too infuriating.
Oh, I know.
Last night with the Giants, like Mason Black, who's been really good in the minor leagues for them, comes up, makes his big league debut. They hadn't let him throw more than 71 pitches in any start. And all of a sudden, they need him to eat innings in the big leagues. And guess what happened when he got to about 70 pitches? He hadn't been past that level, he got fatigued, and the Phillies knocked him around. Some of this stuff is just galaxy brain dumb. Like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Like, mm-hmm. the whole idea is you're protecting these young players, but like, pitchers are always going to get hurt. And I just started the Andy McCullough's biography on Clayton Kershaw. I'll show it to you here. It just came out today.
Heard about this. Yeah.
Andy's a good friend. And although he did not put me in the acknowledgments.
Not that good of a friend, I guess.
and thanks to Mike Farrell.
The entirety of our interview on Thursday is going to be why I wasn't in the acknowledgments.
Can we go over this paragraph in the acknowledgments, please? Thank you.
Like, I just want to focus on these names and let's see if we can figure out whose is missing. Like, one of the things that talks about early on in the book is the number of innings that Kershaw threw by the time that he was 32. And in the era that he pitched in, there were only two pitchers that got to 1,600 innings as fast as he did or faster. And it was CC Sabathia, who had a very good career and is probably going to go in the Hall of Fame next year. And, didn't make an all-star game after the age of 32. And Felix Hernandez, who didn't throw a pitch after he was 33. But that's the natural progression of star pitchers, right? Is that they tend to be sensational in their 20s and not all of them make it through their mid-30s. And now we're trying so hard to keep these guys healthy with ideas that don't necessarily work. I mean, J.J. Cooper just wrote on this yesterday at Baseball America on how this is like, there is absolutely no data to support that babying these arms helps. Now you're shortening the front end of their prime and the back end of their prime because it's like, it's just, this is like the worst Twitter meme you've ever seen. It's just terrible.
Well, eventually they're either going to figure it out or it's going to come the hard way, but one way or another, it's going to happen. And it's unfortunate because we're kind of being robbed of watching what could be true greatness. And it still might be, but you know, it sucks. It sucks.
And also, like, I think I made this point last week, John, like Paul Skenes, it's not like he didn't pitch last year. He threw 122 innings for another 10 in pro ball. Like, this is just like the way that he hasn't, we don't know how good Paul Skenes is because he faced a lineup the third time, even in AAA, he hasn't done it.
Right.
It's just unbelievably stupid, some of this. Like, it's just like at some point, somebody needs to stand up and be like, wait a second, we need to let athletes athlete.
Well, so much for good day baseball. The Rangers are now up 9-0 on the Athletics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've blown it open with 8 runs here in the second.
And there's still 2 men on.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
great. It's another pitching change about to happen.
This is not good.
Ross Stripling, not a good day, huh, buddy?
Nope, not at all. All right, Mike Farron, everyone, SiriusXM MLB.
That was a fun interview.
Yes, it was.
I liked the random detour of the middle 10 minutes of kind of weirdness.
And my hope is that those 10 minutes that you take to ask Sipple about baseball. So
yes, that's right. In the tweet today, I promised we would not ask Sipple about baseball.
I think you should ask him about it just to make up for the time that we lost today.
Not a bad idea.
That's actually a good idea.
10 baseball minutes with Sipple.
Because it's either that or we have to talk about Dylan Raiola some more.
Well, we can do that. We probably can.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Mm. Hey, I got my Airbnb booked. Can't wait for Omaha.
He's ready.
Let's go.
Ready to go.
It's like a month away.
Ready to go. I've got, you'll appreciate it, John. I got Valley Baseball on Friday afternoon.
Oh.
Which game? Indiana State?
Runes and I have Evansville, Indiana State.
Cool.
Hopefully at Indiana State.
It is at Bob Warren Field.
Warren Field.
And then I get to go on a plane and I'll be doing Orioles Diamondbacks for ESPN Radio this weekend.
So that'll be fun.
Do everything.
So. YouTube user says, Mike is the GOAT and his intro song is the GOAT. Thank you for your insight, Mike.
Thank you, YouTube user.
Whichever one you are.
There are dozens.
I think that's her actual name.
Yeah. Yes. Just, yes. Like, YouTube today, user.
They have unusual names.
Uh-huh. Are you going to be doing regionals again this year?
It's too early to tell. No. Yes, I believe I will be doing regionals again this year.
Well, you know, we didn't get one yet, so
it's
there it is. It's too early to
tell,
says Mike Farron.
Uh-huh. I'm doing ACC tournament coming up, so.
Good.
Charlotte for that, so.
In Charlotte. Cool.
Awesome.
Well, until next week.
Until then, until we meet again.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Mike.
That's Mike Farron.
So long.
So long, everybody. Back after this on 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.